Welcome back to 7 Splits Podcast. Yeah, Bryce is here this time.
Yeah, so I'm going to read you.
Oh, also?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm wearing a Bears jersey. It's not Jay Cutler, though. It's Kyler Gordon, so relax. Anyway.
What I've got for ye is I've got one-star reviews of great movies, and they're vague enough to where I want you to guess what movie it's about.
You one-star them out of five? No, or like no. Glow, like
okay. Just people left review one-star reviews, and I'm going to read them, and I want you to guess what movie it could possibly be.
Are you reading the plot or something? Oh, like the review.
Like
oh.
Out of the review, you'll get hints.
So like the movie isn't a one-star, but like the one-star review. Got it. Yes. Okay.
A vapid cartoon that shows once again that Hollywood is completely out of ideas and originality. And I'll give you the year on this one. This okay. one was made in 2020. Out of ideas, they decided to do the one-take style like The Revenant, Roma, and Birdman did. But, oh, for some sort of originality, let's just do it for war. And let's pick a war that so people don't confuse it with Nam or Private Ryan. Sure, camera work looks good, kudos, but the shoehorning, lack of script, mediocre acting, deus ex machina, no character development, and suspension of disbelief turn this into a sort of dumbed-down cartoon of war picture. The only emotional scene was in the final 30 seconds. Everything else was basically impulsive. The fact that some people are raving about and loving this movie shows that either A, the studio, Mendez and those involved have hired a bot army or shills to hype it up, or B, moviegoers are that desperate and dumbed down, but it's probably a combination of both, leaning more towards A as a predominant reason. Plot armor like Commando, a ridiculous scene about milk, and soldiers administering dangerous enemies with nursing like they were their family member takes the whole script unrealistic and impulsive. Implausible.
1917?
Yeah.
That came out in 2020.
I know, that's what I thought too. I'm like, that long ago?
I thought it was before that. Anyway, unless that's like that guy's job, movie critic, get a hobby, dude.
Well, the overall rating is like 8-something,
I yeah. think. Oh, yeah.
So.
How do you watch the movie and you just hate it? You know what I mean?
I know. Or like...
No character development? Dude, isn't it like based on a true story? Even if it wasn't, it's war. What character development? Like, you know what
I mean? Well, the part...
It spanned over 3 days.
Yeah, the point of it is like a short time.
I hate the whole plot armor, like, argument.
Mm-hmm.
Because like...
Sometimes I understand.
Sometimes I 100% get it. Especially for shows. But like...
Shows are bad.
Yeah, but for movie, it's like the main character will always not die. Like, yeah, but he wouldn't be the main character if he died. Like, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, that's not right. How it works. I get like... The stuff that happens, like Taken 3, I get it. Because like he shot an LMG at him for a minute and a half, not a scratch. But
I am not going to give you the year with this one because I think you might get it. But if not,
the year didn't even help me in the last one. I was more confused.
Unwatchable. Only one sound guy. It's not often I find a movie plain unwatchable, but that was the case with this movie. The reason is plain and simple. Almost every dialogue feels fake as only one person speaks per camera point. Like cheap soaps where they can only take care of the sound of one person or where the stars don't physically meet that much. The lack of chemistry and realness resulting from monologues shot in series and then cutting the dialogues is bewildering. Staggeringly low quality. I honestly found it unwatchable because of that, and that's even more bewildering, is that this seemingly cheap or ill-produced production is considered a masterpiece by so many. I feel like the little child in the Emperor's New Clothes. What's going on here? Has everyone turned blind? Shockingly bad.
Is it a 90s movie?
It's from 08, and it's a movie we've talked
Dark
about.
Knight?
Yep.
Yeah. The monologue, the pacing, kind of with the monologue dialogue, yeah. It's not wrong there.
I didn't think much about the one character speaking part, but him and Alfred, I think, might be the only two.
There were a lot of scenes where, like, one person talked for about 45 seconds and just sweat. Like,
yeah.
That's Nolan, though. But, like, yeah, I get it. I mean, he's wrong. It's not shockingly bad.
Yeah.
But some stuff he said wasn't completely wrong.
Are you people nuts? This is a different movie.
Okay.
It seems like almost everyone likes this movie for some reason. My review will be short and sweet. This is the dumbest premise for a movie I've ever witnessed. This is Full Metal Jacket, but with instruments. No one, and I mean no one, would put up with the abuse that this blank dishes out unless they were in the Marine Corps. It's one thing to be a nasty teacher, but quite another to be R. Lee Army as Gunny Sergeant Hartman. Every kid I know today would have pounced on that guy and beat him to a pulp if he acted that way towards them. I keep waiting for... main character, to turn in a Private Leonard Gomer Pyle Lawrence with a rifle in his hand and blow the teacher away. No, this is beyond fantasy. This is just dumb.
Oh my God, dude. It's a fucking movie. Is it Hacksaw?
No.
Is it Jarhead? It's a war movie.
Nope. It's Whiplash.
Beat what guy to a pulp?
Fletcher.
All right, dude.
Yeah.
Everyone watch out for this guy. He wouldn't have done shit.
It's a yoke JK.
It's a keyboard warrior right there. He ain't gonna do... fuck off. If your mouse teller, I would have just... Well, he was a little psycho. Miles was a little psycho too.
But he was also psycho because he wanted to be good enough in what he was doing.
Yeah, he broke up with his girlfriend because he wanted to be the best.
Right. Like, it's not.
Relax.
This one's short. Snarling Critique from 2002.
Wait, the movie from 2002 or this is from
the review, but it's around within 3 years of that. Awful. A dreadful disgrace. The film is the most cliched in cinematic history and is worthy of no respect. Even worse is how it is so flawless, yet it is still of no quality. I do not know how this film can be revered over others such as Psycho, Apocalypse Now, Raging Bull, Easy Rider, The Godfather, The Killing Fields, Some Like It Hot, and Casablanca, amongst others. Shockingly horrendous that this is number one on the charts.
When did the movie come out?
Let me double check.
Is it? It's not Memento, is it? I mean, this guy's just hating. I don't know. Like, he didn't give me any hints.
If I tell you who wrote it,
yeah,
I think you'll know.
Frank?
Yes.
Frank wrote it?
Yes, and Stephen King.
Okay, Miss Shawshank.
It was Shawshank.
That might be the number one movie of all time, or if someone watches it and they don't like it, I don't know what you want.
I don't know what you would like.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anything in the world. Maybe Nemo.
It's a 9.3.
God, Frank was in his bag.
Okay, this one I'm going to cut down because it's like a novel. This came out in 2000, but the review's from 01.
Okay. Memento.
A monumentally overrated wank fest. After all this time, I'm still not sure why I hate this movie so much. First thing wrong with that review right there.
Okay. I'll stop you there. Yeah. Like, a movie came out in 2000?
Yes. Perhaps it is because so much undeserved praise was heaped up on this pretentious and presumptuous MTV video with aspirations to being a serious movie. It meanders, sometimes careens, but one gratuitous plot twist to the end, yet in reality, very little actually happens. In the end, this is not a bad approach if we are going to get character development instead. Alas, none is here. God. The characters might as well have had their profiles tattooed on them like the main character does, because there are no less obvious and devoid of subtlety.
Memento.
Yep. And then he ends it. I cannot begin to tell you how overrated this movie is. It is a favorite of ersatz intellectuals who want to prove their smarts and congratulate themselves by figuring out this empty, pointless wank fest of a monumentally overrated movie.
Why did it make it personal?
I don't know. This one, the review came out way later than the movie. I always take the trouble to write an IMDb review when I think a movie is too horrible to watch. The good ones, I'm sure people can find them without me. This movie is rotten to the core. It is not...
Time out. All these reviews you said, what do you think the person looks like?
Discord mod. Like, I just think of...
5'8", white glasses?
I think of Al from Weird... Like, Al's Toy Barn with a little more scruff on him and long uncut hair. Cheeto Puffs. Yeah. This movie is rotten to the core. It does not entertain a sensible mind. It does not uplift. It has not humor, no fun, no moral. It is morbid, depressing, meaningless, but it is not meaningless like, say, life.
Oh my God, this guy's depressed.
Life's meaninglessness has a depth. It is somber. The meaninglessness of this movie is like a small child killing a white rabbit. What do you learn from this movie? What did you enjoy? What moved you? Nothing, unless you admire gore and violence per se.
Gore and
yes, the acting, especially from antagonist, was superb. But I do not see any glamour in superbly acting the part of a mad killer. The mad killer can do it himself.
American Psycho?
Mm-mm.
Kill Bill?
Antagonist, it says KS. I am rambling, but after a movie like this, you are
Usual Suspects.
At a loss for words. You wonder what
Seven.
Kind. Yeah.
It's Kevin Spacey.
What kind of people spend $1 million on a movie like this? You wonder what kind of people go to watch it. You wonder, most of all, how someone can enjoy spending
money. This is the last
money.
One. That's my favorite movie. I'm getting really upset.
That is the last
okay,
one.
Okay, thank God. You bet. Good job. You planned that. That's another one. Like, I get if you're not about like gore and killing, which is completely fine.
But having enough hate to write a review that's like trying
a book?
To be...
Yeah.
If you hate a movie that bad, why do you finish it then write a review?
Especially if you know it's good.
Well, it's 2011, and the movie's made 95.
I rewatched it. Still perfect.
Is there anyone... We've talked about this before, but mm-hmm. what's like your category of people, like celebrities you'd see out where it's like, oh, maybe it might be like, hey, and that's it. Just be nice or ignore, but there's a lot, so you'd be able to say that. Or you'd actually like kind of fangirl over and go up and like, shake his hand or try to shake their hand or, you know.
Yeah, I honestly, any of them, I wouldn't say anything realistically.
Even if it's D-Rose?
No. I'll cry. I'll fall on my knees and cry. That's different. Yeah. He won't know. It's okay. Like, I'll walk past them, I'll turn a corner in, like, in the alley and just start crying. So I did this alone last time. Movie reviews of stuff I've watched recently, 7 of them. I haven't watched any theater movies in that time. I was going to go see Begonia this week, but I didn't. I want to play Battlefield. Another movie that's out in theaters right now is Violent Ends, which is a 6-7. Fuck.
I won't.
6-8, I mean. I hope it's because of James Badgerdale, and James Badgerdale is in the new John Wayne Gacy show. So I was like, I'm not. I was just looking through his shit. It looked good, trailer, and then apparently it didn't do good. So L. And then I'm seeing Predator Badlands on Thursday.
That looks like such a fun movie.
Oh, I did. I show you the cast. It's 2 people. Mm-hmm. Also, John Wayne Gacy show, very good. I knew most about the case already because of school and forensics and stuff, but that guy was the fucking devil. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not even close. They got most of the stuff right. There's some stuff that, like, they added for Hollywood, which is fine, but most of it's, I mean, the whole investigation, the interviews, the media is all true. There's just some jail stuff that was, like,
left for interpretation that they
just for entertainment and to make him scarier. You know what I mean?
Out of all the killers that I'm familiar with, he's definitely the most genuinely evil and, like, deranged.
33 kills, 27 buried in his fucking crawl space.
That's insane.
The best, there was a part of the show, though, where they're talking to the media and, like, how many bodies you found? They're like, 3 or 4. And then it cuts to the house of, like, the wooden sticks poked out with a number. It says 27. There's also a part, I'll talk about the show a little bit. There's also a part in the show where Chicago Police Department, all these people reported missing people and put his name connected. They just didn't care.
Just to put it on
not
someone.
Not care. There was just so many delinquents and runaways in that time.
Yeah.
And they just didn't, unintentionally, they probably could have got them, but they just didn't. Mm-hmm. Which is lazy, but also like, they, I mean, there's probably a lot of shit they go through. Like,
probably, yeah.
It's bad though. They fucked up. They got fucked. I'm going to start from most recent released, like I did last time. This movie came out last year. I didn't see it in theaters. I really wanted to. It was Monkey Man.
Okay.
Did you see it?
Yeah. I watched it.
Okay, cool. It's like an awesome one-man army revenge movie.
Yeah, it's like John Wick adjacent.
Yeah, which they actually mentioned in the movie.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, he was trying to sell him guns. Like, you like John Wick? And they're like,
oh, I didn't catch that.
Which is pretty cool. 2024, it's a 6.8. I rated it a 7.
I was going to do 7.
A little underrated.
I thought it was fun.
2 hours, which pretty long for a lifetime movie.
Mm-hmm.
One-man army action thriller. It's a revenge type. Dev Patel directed it. Wrote it,
okay,
and is the main actor in it. He did everything, which is cool. I like that. Also, Jordan Peele helped produce it. I don't know if you knew that. Not very a Jordan Peele movie.
No.
Like, no horror. It is a lot of violence. Like, it's a lot. It's gory. It's up there. But it's not a lot of gun. It's more hand-to-hand stuff,
yeah, it's
which
like
is kind of cool.
The actual fight scene type stuff is cool, I think.
Like, he beat up a guy with, like, a pan from, like, the kitchen for like 7 minutes.
Mm.
Soundtrack, 151 Rum by JID was played. And then Somebody Love also. Like, the soundtrack was all over the place. It was kind of fun. There's some very notable, like, specific fight scenes. The bathroom one, the axe one. I mean, there's a lot.
Like, yeah. Yeah, I definitely think they did well at keeping each fight, like, almost unique. Or, like, it never really felt stale.
The highlight of the movie was the flashback scenes with his mom. Because it was, like, fast, 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 kill, kill, kill. And it slowed down heavy.
Yeah.
And then it kept going back to it. And then when it finally showed the whole thing, it was like
oh, okay. Yeah.
Damn. There was a lot of buildup for him to go absolutely nuts. Had some Dark Knight Rises vibes. He went in that temple to train for a minute.
Yeah.
To get stronger. And then he came back out. You know what I mean? I said one-man army, but at the end, he did kind of an army at the end.
Mm-hmm. Well, still.
I love the ending because there was an ending. Mm-hmm. There won't be a second one.
Yep.
Dude, he used fireworks as projectiles. Do you remember that? You know how badly I want to do that?
I know. That's like... Every 4th of July dream I want to do it once anytime.
I'm too old for that. But I wish I was like 17 or 18 just shooting fireworks at each other. Oh my God. But it was definitely fun.
Yeah.
6.8? I mean, why?
I don't know if it's like because it had an ending. If that drug it down by some people. But like you said, I like how it actually ended. Like, there's no...
I'm also giving it additional respect because he directed, wrote it, and
everything.
Literally everything.
People just aren't as...
And it made the villain a villain.
Yeah.
Like, he was awful.
That's, like, worthy of the actions taken.
I want to remember it coming out of theaters. Like, it was super hyped up. Like, it was...
Yeah, they had a lot of promotion for it.
A lot. Maybe that's also why I got rating bombed, because it wasn't as good as the promotion made it to be, which I get sometimes.
That, or maybe the promotion got the wrong people to see it. I don't know.
Dose. Walk Among the Tombstones. Have you seen that?
No, I have not.
Do you know what it's about?
Nope.
Anything?
Nope.
No act or anything?
Nope.
Okay. It was a book. Relax. That's why I got rating bombed. It's a 6.5. Came out in 2014. It's Liam Neeson.
Okay.
Detective. Mm. But he's not, like, taken. ain't beating shit out of people.
Yeah, he's not like...
Straight to tech, PI. That's it.
Okay.
I rated it a 7, underrated again, but I think because people compared it to the book. 2 hours, rated R, director Scott Frank. Do you know who Scott Frank is?
Mm-mm, what else has he done?
He'll write Logan.
Oh, okay.
With James Mangold. And he helped write Minority Report with Spielberg.
Oh, okay.
An actor in this is Boyd Holbrook. Do you know who he is? Probably not.
Mm-mm.
Well, he's in The Sandman. Have you seen that show?
Yeah.
He's the guy, he's the nightmare that comes out with no eyes.
Okay.
The Corinthian. Mm-hmm. That's him, which is kind of cool. He's also in Logan. Also, the bad guy in Walk Among the Tombstone, the serial killer, is Hopper from Stranger Things, David Harbour.
That's so weird.
He plays a good psycho.
Does he?
Yeah. Also, when you think of David Harbour, do you think of the Marvel? Do you think of Stranger Things? Or do you think what I think? Or Equalizer, maybe?
Well, what do you think?
Hellboy? I fucking love Hellboy.
He's good.
That's
as
like the
Hellboy.
First Deadpool-esque, like, yeah. I don't give a fuck. Like, you know what I mean?
I don't know what I think of him directly from. Maybe Stranger Things, but like later in it.
Equalizer, he's funny. Whoa. He's a weird career too.
Yeah, he's kind of whatever seems fun to him, he'll do.
There's some notable scenes for this one. So it's like they take the wives and daughters of drug dealers.
Mm.
That's like their shtick.
Yeah.
Shtick. And then Liam Neeson's a PI that figures it out. One of those. But it's pretty gory at the end. They show some killings and other stuff that's not ideal. There's one suicide on here that was like super well done. Like they're on top of a roof and Liam's talking to this dude that like, you know, he's the one of those guys that, like, feeds the birds in the roofs.
Yeah.
And he's talking to him, and he just walks off the roof.
Like, mid-conversation?
Yeah. I was like, dude, it was done well. I was not expecting it. Another aspect, kind of like the flashbacks of Monkey Man, like a side piece, is Liam Neeson had drinking problems.
Mm-hmm.
So he went to AA meetings. And over the time of him, like, searching, there's, like, always these flashback AA meetings and, like, the Bible verses they went through for drinking and stuff. That was kind of well done. Dude, he killed a guy the very first scene in the movie when he was like a flashback. He was drunk and he killed people, like bad people. He was walking down the stairs. I swear to God, it's the same stair set. Stair set? What did I say?
You said stair set.
Is that correct?
Stairwell? Seems like it. No, because I think the stairwell was more enclosed, right?
It was, you know, the Joker dancing?
Yeah.
What is that called?
I don't know the name.
I think they use the same stairs, I'm saying. Like,
it's in several movies, so I wouldn't doubt it.
Is it? Yeah. Where is it at?
I don't know.
Did he kill some guy who's walking down the stairs? I'm like, this is the Joker. It's the same. It looks the exact same stairs. Yeah. It might be the same. I don't know. But I noticed that. But it's a good, for sure, private detective, fun. I think, again, 6.5. I would have 7'd it, but I think people compared it to the book, which that never goes well. It's nerds, you know? The Purge, I rewatched.
The Purge.
I regret it. It's just fucking ass.
It's quite bad. And they had a decent cast for it.
I'll get there. 2013, it's a 5.8. I rated it a 5. Rated R, hour 25.
That's a long show episode nowadays.
The plot was like interesting and odd. Kind of a cool concept. Which it could have done well. But again, I wrote down the actions inside the home were so fucking dumb. Like all horror movies have those decision making. But like this one... checked all the boxes.
Like it was bad. It was like the most cliche, like what you would do.
Oh my God. Dialogue, brutal. And I wrote down the acting wasn't terrible, which it wasn't. Ethan Hawke, Queen Cersei from Game of Thrones. You know, the kid was the kid from the Ted series. It was directed by James DeMonaco. He did all the Purge movies. That's it. I don't know how multiple Purge movies were made.
There's a lot too, isn't there? There's like 5.
Who likes those?
I don't know.
The concept is interesting, but like, what happened inside, like, I wasn't even scared. I was just laughing how dumb the decisions were making. Like, the girl just ran off. Like, what are we doing?
And it doesn't really get much better throughout the rest of
the whole, like, the whole, it's awful. Even the ending sucked. Like, everything sucked. Also, like, they stop when the horn goes off and act like nothing happened.
Like, okay.
You know, if you, like, swung one more time, no one would know.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, they act like people, I don't know. It was terrible. I know it's, like, a taste of movies, which I get, but, like, dude, holy hell. Next one, 2011, Cabin in the Woods. Have you seen this? It's a 7, which is high in my opinion.
I would agree.
I know why it is, though. I rated it a 6. Hour 35, Drew Goddard directed it. He wrote The Martian. He also created the Daredevil Netflix show.
How?
I don't know. Cast, Jesse Williams, Dr. Avery from Grey's Anatomy, Chris Hemsworth,
Yep.
And then Marty, the high dude. He's in The Village.
Oh, okay.
With Sigourney Weaver, who's also in The Village.
Huh.
So those two worked together in this and then worked on Cabin in the Woods like 7 years later. It's a horror
thriller-esque, I think.
Conspiracy, experimental theory. It's weird. It's a very odd movie. They kind of do it well, though. That's why it's rated a 7. Like, they did it well. Like, there's a lot of horror movie moments, but, like, it's supposed to, because it's, like, all an experimental cage or whatever.
Yeah.
I also laughed a lot. Like, it's fucking funny. When Thor, because we're going on the motorcycle and just ate it on the fucking screen. And it got better and better and better. Like, it started off horrible, like a horrible horror movie. Mm. Then it got better and better throughout. Do you remember the ending? Like, kind of the ending. Like, it was in the lab where all the nightmares and monsters live.
Yeah.
And every door opened up. And it was just mayhem of gore. It was hilarious. It was done great. I watched it. I was like, how is that a 7?
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm like, I rethought about it. I'm like, it's done super well for that, I don't know.
Like, niche or subgenre type thing.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Okay, we're doing The Mist.
Okay.
I don't know why, but I never knew about this movie. Ever. Never heard of it. Ever.
That's insane. Ever.
And Frank did it.
Yeah.
And Stephen King. And I love Stephen King. I don't know why. Never heard of it. Probably because the cast was like shit. Wasn't shit. But like.
Like 3 Walking Dead people.
Oh, yeah. I was getting there. Dale, Carol, and Andrea were all from The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Which Frank also created, so they all just went together.
And I think there's another season 1 character in it, but I don't remember her name. She was the one that in The Walking Dead stayed back at the CDC when it blew up.
Yeah, Frank did Shawshank Green Mile. It's 2 hours. It's 7-1. I rated it a 7. It started off like a 4.
Yeah.
But because the CGI is not all up. It's pretty bad. Yeah. But like the horror movie aspect, like I thought it was going to be like a monster horror. But then it got like real serious and real realistic real fast. Mm-hmm. Like people like going nuts in there.
It was like a reality snap.
It was.
For the universe, it was weird.
Thomas Jane, the main actor, is in Boogie Nights and Deep Blue Sea and Thin Red Line, is which I find. Like, he's not a good actor either. Mm-hmm. Sam Witwer is in this. He's the soldier that they sacrifice. He's Darth Vader's apprentice in Star Wars Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
Dude, the guy with glasses. That's Dobby from Harry Potter. Yep.
Really?
Yep. And then Haywood from Shawshank is also in this movie. Yep.
Master's given Dobby a hatchet.
Yeah. Yes. Again, super realistic. If that scenario happened, I know it's like monsters, but like what happened inside that store, 100% what happened in real life. That crazy lady that was preaching everything, when she got shot, was no satisfying. I wanted to kick her in the mouth. She did not shut up. When Dobby shot her, when he shot her, I was like, thank the fuck.
Mm.
God.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen it.
I wrote down the most satisfying death in cinema history. Yeah, but when the kid got yoinked.
Yep.
In the garage, when people didn't believe it, 100% what happened. What made the movie a 7 up was the ending. I remember I saw some clip like that was the most insane endings. And
it's up there.
This next movie, 310 to Yuma, came out in 2007, same time. Hidden Gem.
Again, it's one of those that I think I need to rewatch because I watched it a long time ago.
You did see it?
Yeah.
I'd never heard of it. Russell Crowe and Christian Bale.
Mm-hmm.
Why haven't I heard of it? And Logan Lerman was a teenager. It's a 7-6. I rated it an 8, directed by James Mangold, who directed Logan.
Okay.
And Ford vs. Ferrari.
Yep.
Yeah. Logan Lerman was in the first scene, had no idea he was in this movie when I turned it on. No idea. I was like, so Russell Crowe's character, Ben Wade, he might be one of the coolest characters of all time. He was a badass. He did not give a shit. He was so smart. He didn't care. Christian Bale played a poor one-legged guy, veteran, I think. Like, he was in the Civil War.
Yeah.
The whole plot is he had to escort Russell Crowe to a train to go to prison. But at the end, Russell Crowe was like on his side. Like,
because
the whole story was, it was kind of sad because he was like one-legged and poor, but he wanted to show his son that he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Russell Crowe's like, okay, let's go. And he'll just go to prison for him. And then they kind of kill Christian Bale. But then at the very end, he whistled for his horse. Did you remember that?
Uh-uh.
So he's in the train. The train's going. He's going to prison. And then he just whistles and his horse comes running. And then ends the movie. He's getting off that fucking train. Yep. Yeah. The movie's phenomenal.
Like you said, it's definitely one that flies under the radar because I forgot about it. I had no idea that it was rated that.
There's a lot of good monologue and dialogue scenes, especially when they're holed up in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff going on there. Ben Foster's in this movie. He's in Lone Survivor. He's a sniper.
Oh, is he?
He's a sniper in it. He's the one that got shy. His eye got shot out. Okay, the last one I have on here. The best movie on here by far. UB, Uncle Buck.
Yep.
You know who wrote and made this? Same guys. Ferris, Breakfast Club,
Crucifixion,
John Hughes. Mm-hmm. He did this too. 1989, John Candy, rip. 7-1, 7-1 comedy is so high.
Mm.
I rated it a 7. It is hilarious. It's written perfectly. He also wrote Home Alone. Did you know that?
Really?
Like when people say Macaulay Culkin, people think of Home Alone, I think of this. Dude, there's so many notable quotes in this movie. Like so many.
I know.
Oh my God.
It's one of those movies where it's like, how do you think to write some of that? And also, I wonder how much John Candy.
It's all timing, dude. Yeah. It's all timing. From the very first when the parents start telling the kids, like the neighbors are going to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
And Macaulay Culkin's like, I don't like them because their dog's a ball sniffer. And then like, what else do I call it? And he walks down the hallway, turns around, snaps his fingers, goes nuts. And that's it. John Candy packs Miles sardines for lunch. Oh, yeah, the big pancake for his birthday with a shovel. Yep. And flips it. Yep. He gets this shovel out of the garage and flips the pancake. When he's scaring Bug, he says, I've been known to circumcise a gnat with his hatchet. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, when he fucking was pissing in the urinal at school, he's down on one knee, I was crying. That is so funny. Yep, so those are the 7. Fun 7, bad 7 sometimes. Like, 310 to Yuma. So the Cabin in the Woods and Mist are very polarizing.
Yep.
Uncle Buck, phenomenal. 310 to Yuma, phenomenal. Purge, dog water.
Yeah, that's
Monkey true. Man, fun. Walk Among Tombstones, yep. Good. It was good. But random 7. And then some future movies that I might be doing next time. I know I said V for Vendetta last week, but like, it's not on a streaming service, which is so fucking annoying because November 5th is coming up and I have to watch it. Predator Badlands between Thursday. Violent Ends, I'm not going to go see. Kick Out Rating, bad, which I'm really sad about. Begonia is a 7-7 right now.
Yeah, that looks kind of good.
Which I might still go see. But Predator Badlands is Thursday, which I cannot wait to watch because it is going to be so fun. Yep, check us out on TikTok, Instagram. That's it.
Spotify, technically.
Ooh, yeah.
And Apple Pod, probably.
Yeah, I guess that's... Yeah, I forgot it's kind of where we're on here. See you next time.
Yep, bye.